peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The great Houdini was the son of another famous magician. And when his son was just a little boy, the older Houdini began to teach him the craft he would soon master. And he did so by teaching the boy about optical illusions. He showed him many, many. And then he gave him an assignment. He gave the young boy an assignment of discovering, inventing numerous more optical illusions. And he did. He became quite the master at it. Now what the father was trying to teach his son is that we don't necessarily see what's real. We don't necessarily see the reality that's right in front of our face. It's in fact fairly easy to fool people so that they don't. And that in fact is what lies at the center of the magician's art. It's kind of an important thing to remember. Today is New Year's Day. Today when we quite naturally reflect back on the last year and maybe wonder about this next year. And sometimes we don't see the reality. Sometimes we don't see the reality staring us right in the face. It's kind of easy to fool us from not doing that. But over and over again, the Bible encourages us to see, well, everything from the perspective of faith. The perspective of Christ and the cross. The perspective of God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and care. The perspective of faith. Our text for today is one of the many places where Scripture encourages that. Our text is from Philippians chapter 4. It reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving in your heart, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of your praise, then dwell on these things. It's our text. By faith, we can see our true selves. By faith, we can look through the grace of God and see the reality that's actually there. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." St. Paul wrote, "How wide, how long, how high, how deep is God's love for each one of us." In Galatians we read, "I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and who gave himself up for me." The Apostle John wrote, "See how very much the Father loves us, for he calls us his very own children, and that's exactly what we are." Folks, that's the reality. That's what's true. That's what is actually the case. And by faith, we can see that reality in all of its truth, in all of its magnificence. We are the objects of God's love. We are his beloved children, his dear sons, his precious daughters, members of his royal family. That's the reality. That's what truly is. It's easy to fool us so that we don't see it, but by faith we can see it and rejoice in the reality.
it's true.
The Apostle Paul adds even more. He says, so since God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things with him? And who shall bring any charge against us? It is God who justifies. Who is going to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died for us, and more than that, who was raised for us, and who is now at the right hand of God, indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from this love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword? Of course not. For in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. That's the reality. That's the truth. That's the way it really is. We are the objects of God's love. We are the subjects of his infinite and loving and tender care. And nothing can change that. Nothing can hinder that. Nothing can get in the way of that. Nothing can stop that. That's the reality. That's the truth. And faith enables us to see that, that truth right in front of our face. And of course, it's not only true of us, it's true of others, too. By faith, we can see all people as God sees them. The Bible says, God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good alike. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike. God's love is universal. God's love is unconditional. And so should be our love. And folks, it doesn't take faith to see people who look like us, who think like us, who believe like us, who act like us, who smell like us, and to love them, or to like them, or tolerate them if we have to. But it does take faith to see people as God. To see the reality in front of us. These two are the objects of his love and the subjects of his care. These are people for whom Christ died as much as he did for me. That's reality. And faith enables us to see that reality. But here's the cool thing. Here's the awesome thing. Faith not only changes what we see, but changes how we live. Faith not only changes our perspective, it also changes our action. Some years ago, Debbie and Amanda and I took a trip to Hawaii. Christine was already married by this time, so it was just the three of us. We went to Maui. And the big physical thing on Maui is Haleakala. That's the big volcano on the island. And it dominates pretty much everything. It's like 10, 11,000 feet high, way above the tree line. And one of the big adventures on Maui is to ride a bike down that mountain. Now, it's quite a ride. You know, you're going from 10 or 11,000 feet all the way down to sea level in a very short period of time. On this road, it twists and turns and so on, plummets this great distance. Now, Debbie and I passed, but Amanda was all in. She signed up to do it. So this van came around our hotel in the middle of the night and picked her up and took her to the top of Haleakala, where she saw the sunrise. I guess that's quite the thing to do from the top of the volcano. And then the company handed out, you know, the helmets and the sign. behind the bicycles and got everybody all ready to go.
It's cold.
And then the coordinator said, probably something you should know. Because you see, every year, somebody dies doing this.
Oh my gosh.
See? And here's how it happens. See, they're going down the mountain, really just coasting, and they're going very, very fast, and they're winding around this road, and all of a sudden they decide to take in the scenery, you know? So they look out there at the beautiful Pacific Ocean and the sunrise happening. And here's the thing, we tend to steer where we look. We tend to steer where we look. And so these people just go right off the volcano. It's a bad thing. So he said, look where you want to go. Keep your eyes on where you want to go. And it'll be safe and it'll be fun. And we'll stop every now and then and you can look out over the ocean. Seems to me that's not only good advice for riding down volcanoes, it's good advice for going through life. Because we tend to steer where we look. What we see has a big impact on where we go. Our perspective has a big impact on our living. When I was a boy growing up, our parents had these good friends, another couple. They used to get together quite often. And my earliest and strongest memories of the woman, the wife, is that she was always dying. She had this terrible, horrible, incurable, but never quite diagnosed disease from which she was dying. The exact nature and symptoms and characteristics of this disease seemed to ebb and flow and change quite a lot. But there was always this terrible, horrible, incurable disease from which she was suffering and from which she was dying. My parents and them, they would get together, and very soon she would steer the conversation into this very long and very depressing account of this terrible, horrible, incurable disease. I remember we would leave. You know, we said our goodbyes, we went out the door, we were in the car, Dad was starting up the car, we were about to pull off, and she would come running out of the house, and she'd come running across the lawn, and she would bang on the window of the car. Mom would roll down the window, and she'd stick her head in, and tears literally would be dripping off her face. And she pleaded with us, please pray for her. What do you mean that she was dying? Decades later, someone I knew, who also knew this person, informed me that she was now in her 90s and she was still dying. Like you, he reported this with abundant laughter. But I thought to myself, it's really not funny. It's really very tragic. I mean, this good woman missed out on decades of living because she was dying. We tend to steer where we look. What we see has a big impact on what we do. Our perspective impacts our living. Story told of two trusted servants of a certain king. King called these two servants to himself, and to the first he said, I command you to spend the next year roaming and surveying all of my realm, and please search for every kind of weed you can find and bring back a sample of all. And to the second he said, And I command you to go out throughout my realm for an entire year and survey and look for all the flowers that grow in my realm and to bring back to me a sample of each and every one. And the two servants were off. A year later, the two servants returned. And to the first, the king said, "Have you done as I have commanded you? Have you found samples of every weed that grows in my realm?" And the servant said, "Yes, my lord, I've done exactly as you have said. And I must say, I've been truly amazed at the number of weeds that grow in your realm. Indeed, nothing but weeds grows in your kingdom." And he showed him the samples. And to the second he said, "Have you done as I have commanded?" And he said, "Yes, my lord, I have surveyed throughout all your realm, and I have been surprised, amazed by the great abundance of flowers that grow in your kingdom. Indeed, nothing but flowers grows in your kingdom." And as the king looked at the two samples, he found they were absolutely identical. Each found exactly what they were looking for. And we tend to do exactly the same thing. Our perspective has a big impact on our living. Story told of a husband who went to the marriage counselor. And he told the marriage counselor that he loved his wife very much. They had been married for a long time, but lately, all she did was just complain about him. She complained and bickered just constantly, and he had grown weary, he had grown tired of all this, and he really didn't know what to do. So the marriage counselor instructed him to bring his wife with him for the second appointment, and he did. And from the minute the wife entered the office, she started in. I mean, just complaining and complaining on and on and on. The marriage counselor couldn't get a word in edgewise. Finally, he interrupted her and he said, "Tell me, did you wake up grumpy this morning?" And she said, "Nah, I left with all the sleep in." How we see has a big impact on what we do. Our perspective has a lot to do with our living. George Bernard Shaw once wrote, "Keep yourself clean and bright, for you are the window through which you see your world." Keep yourself clean and bright, for you are the window through which you see your world. As Christians, we can see everything from the perspective of faith. And that enables us to see the reality of who we are, the reality of who others are, the reality of the world. Fools, unable to cause us to miss it. And that enables us to live in a new way. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
really good time to see things as they really are. And let that begin with me. With how each one of us sees and regards ourselves. As the objects of your boundless love and amazing grace. As the reason for your Son. The reason for his passion and his cross. As your dear sons, your precious daughters, members of your royal family, as the subjects of your constant and loving care. And let it also embrace others, how we see each other and how we regard them, as also the objects of your love and subjects of your care, as also ones for whom Christ has died. Remembering that your love is universal and unconditional, as must be ours. Lord, that's the reality. That's the truth. That's how it really is. But we can be easily fooled and not see what is right in front of our face. Fooled by the devil,